Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee, on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, sirs, yes, ma'ams, the Packers are victorious. This is the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. He is Mason Crosby, and as Peter Bukowski gets set to join us, we have a question from Mike7896 on the YouTube that we'll jump right into. What was your concern level for Mr. McManus last night? Coming back from an injury on a bad field, what was it, a 56 or 57-yarder?
57.
Yeah,
it was 58, I think.
58. You can't kill a guy for missing
57.
That.
57.
The 44-yarder was not a good look. Relax.
I mean,
it's all love here. It's all love.
They said 57. Yeah. I don't know. I think it was from the 39-yard line.
Is there any concern there? Is that just first game coming back? And, are you killing him for that? Or are you?
Not for the 57, the 44 before half. You got to go out and hit that one. He'd say that right away. I mean, as a pro, like if I, in my time, like definitely missed one of those, occasionally, and you just come off the field and you're just like, all right, man, like reset. He hit a couple short ones at the end of the game to just kind of solidify the win, and that's what you do. You just got to stay locked in. We'll see. I think if he's healthy now, that game removed. He needs to start clipping along now, right? Like there's been a couple like weird misses here early on, but he's been dealing with some of these, potential, his quad stuff going on. So I think the next few weeks will really determine kind of where he's at and like how he's feeling going into this this home stretch.
Joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show, he is on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law from Locked On Packers, Mr. Peter Bukowski.
What's up, Pete?
What's up, Peter?
What's going on? It's good to be here, guys. And the crowd goes wild.
Exactly. You didn't have that on your bingo card today, did you?
It was 60-40 Pittsburgh Green Bay. Same vibes that it was at Aquashire Field or whatever it's
Mute
called now.
Mitch for like 10 seconds. He said 6-7 again, and we're about over our limit. Yeah. All right, Pete, did you go to the game? Were you at the game, or did you watch it from home?
I watched it. Okay. We got 90 minutes of post-game stuff to do, so that's a lot of stuff to be doing after the game. So.
Heck yeah. We had some comments, and I thought it last night, and just watching the game with what Aaron had to kind of do, and you saw the guard tap in the center. Like, the Packers traveled. Like, it was loud in there. Aaron even made a comment. Like, I've never, playing in Green Bay, never had to go silent count at home. But it, you know, he gave credit to the Packers fans for showing up, being there, you know, coming to, you know, see that experience of what Aaron Rodgers playing against his former team was going to be like. So talk about like what that meant, like the fans showing up, doing that. And then we'll dive into kind of the weeds on some of the performances we saw yesterday.
It had to have been truly surreal for Aaron Rodgers in that moment to be at his home stadium, which is now Pittsburgh, and to hear a Go Pack Go chant. Like, that just must have been such a surreal moment. And guys, it was loud on the broadcast. In person, I talked to some folks that were there. Chris Carter, our Locked On Steelers host, was like, this is as loud as I've ever heard a road group. And we, like, there's been a little bit of lost mystique at Lambeau Field. Some of the home losses that the Packers have suffered, it doesn't feel like it did like in the 90s, when it just felt like if they were playing at home, it was a guaranteed dub. That doesn't happen anymore. And so to have the fans show out everywhere they've been, really, this year, I mean, it was loud in Arizona. And I'll tell you guys this, I was in LA at SoFi last year for Packers Rams, and I had an LA long time, like 30 plus year LA media person say he has never heard a road fan base shake SoFi on the Tucker Kraft touchdown. There was a long Tucker Kraft touchdown, and he was like, I've never seen a road fan base do that in this building. And that's in LA, where a lot of fans will come and from other fan bases. He was like, I've never seen it like this. So Packer fans are still, you know, maybe on a Thursday night, you know, there may be some Ticketmaster action going on. I don't know who your preferred ticket provider is. I don't know if you guys have a show sponsor. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but you know, there's issues around the NFL right now, and it's a credit to the Packers fans that they showed out the way. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to be there for Aaron Rodgers against the Packers? Like, this is legendary stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and we've talked about this many times on the show, and I've implored Packers fans to show up to Lambeau Field, bring back that home field advantage, make sure it's there. I do think they've had good moments so far this year where that fan base is reviving there in Lambeau and making sure to defend that home field advantage. It's so important. It's so important. And our away fans have always traveled well. It is surprising in a place like Pittsburgh that they were able to access and be able to get that loud. So it was awesome. It was everything we hoped for. The first half was you know, good for the Steelers. Packers figuring it out. Let's kind of break down halves here with you. What did you think during that first half, at halftime? Kind of how did you break down that first half, and what were your thoughts leading into halftime?
It was a lot of self-inflicted wounds for the Packers. I mean, that's unfortunately been a theme all year for this team, is no one is better at beating the Packers than the Packers. I mean, there were drops. Third down, Romeo Doubs on the go ball, unable to make the back shoulder throw. Tucker Kraft, who was unbelievable in the game, had a third down bounce right off his chest. I mean, those are plays we saw plenty last year and had not seen so much this year. And I think that was a welcome sight for Packers fans that it had been changing. And then this sort of felt like, oh, here we go again. Oh, special teams miscues, drops. It felt like a very familiar, oh, Packers in a big game. It felt very 2024-y. And I thought it was really telling, guys. Matt LaFleur after the game said that Jordan Love was pissed in the locker room, and that does not happen very often. And Coach LaFleur said, I was glad to see it, because it doesn't happen very often. And I think it's one of those things. And like, Mason, you were on some teams with some players who they didn't speak a lot, but when they spoke, everyone listened.
Yep.
You know, Julius Peppers being like that, Jimmy Graham being like that. Like, there were some established veteran guys. Now, Love is not that. But if you're the cool, calm, collect guy all the time, and in that moment, you're the guy going, guys, we got to pick it up. And not in a, hey, everyone panic kind of way, but just in a, like, let's get our butts in gear here. Clearly something resonated. Five straight scoring drives in the second half. And I thought the key was they said first and second downs, passes as extension of runs. That was what the offense looked like to me, where it's like, let's just get the ball out quick, give it to Tucker Kraft in the flat if you have to. Like, a zero air yard attempt is fine if the ball's going to Tucker Kraft, because he's going to do something with it. And I felt like this, it was a let Jordan Love cook second half, and we saw Jordan Love. I mean, that was a Michelin star performance in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. I think they kept talking on the on air there, Collinsworth, and kept saying how the Steelers went and got, you know, Ramsey and got their corner Slay to play more man coverage, which ended up hurting them last night because you get Tucker Kraft in the flats and someone has to cover him man to man. He is going to win that battle, yeah, every time. So I think the Packers adjusted so well to just say like exactly what you said, just get the ball to your playmakers, let them go and like make somebody miss, and then show how physical they can be down the field. So let's talk about Jordan Love. Tommy made such a good point earlier in the show that all the talk last week was about Aaron Rodgers playing his former team and not a lot about like Jordan Love and what this meant to prove that he should be the guy in Green Bay and has earned that role. And I think on Sunday night, he stepped up and proved that it's his team now. He has taken over as the leader of the pack, and he had a heck of a night. So just talk about Jordan Love's performance last night.
Yeah, I mean, if there were any lingering doubts about Brian Gutekunst making the right call in 2022, those are done. I mean, this is what a franchise quarterback looks like in a huge game, in a big spot on the road. Like I was saying this on our Locked On Packers squad show last night. It's interesting to me. If you think about the three best games in Jordan Love's career, I was like, was Sunday the best game I've ever seen Jordan Love play? And I was like, well, if it's not, it's the playoff game in Dallas.
Yep.
That's in Dallas. And if it's not that one, it's the game in Minnesota when they need to win the final two games in 2023. And he just rips apart a Brian Flores defense. It's like, those are three road games. That's not at Lambeau. That's not sleeping in my own bed. We got to go on the road in hostile environments. US Bank Stadium, you know this, Mason. Like, that's a nightmare to play in Minnesota. It is a nightmare to go to, I will never call it Acrisure Stadium. It is Heinz Field until forever.
Agreed.
And so, like, that is so, I think that is so important for a young player to go out and prove it. And did he look flustered for 1 second? Did it look too big for him for 1 second? No. Every 20 straight completions, guys. Like, what else can you say? Something Aaron Rodgers never did in front of Aaron Rodgers, like that is putting him on the table and saying, this is my team now. Like, and there doesn't have to be, we don't have to get into revenge game. Was it a revenge game? Was it not? Was there antipathy? Is there not? It doesn't matter. It's still, as a competitor, right? You want to show, hey, look, this is what I do. This is why I'm here. This is why they used a first-round draft pick on me in 2020, and you had to pour four fingers of tequila. Like, you know, it would have been funny if he said post-game, like, I'm going to go pour some tequila. That would have just been like a fun – that would have been a very Aaron Rodgers moment to have. I can't say enough about what I saw from Jordan Love on Sunday. And you're right, Mason. I hadn't thought of it that way, that it was all Aaron Rodgers, and I think rightfully so, right? He's the one playing his old team. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Love played like Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I got to give that credit to Tommy. He kind of reshaped our focus and our mindset there, which was awesome.
Mm. Thank you.
We got Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers at Peter_Bukowski. If you want to find his stuff on Twitter, just talking about this game. So my thought with Jordan Love and then watching Christian Watson come back last night, like, did Christian Watson reinsert himself right away as that Packers number one wide receiver? I mean, it looked like it from, you know, in that second half, especially.
Plus, they have a number one wide receiver, right? Like, they don't really have one of those.
Tucker Kraft,
but
probably.
I think what you're seeing, at least from my perspective, is especially like the second reaction play where he throws the ball back across his body. And that's like an all-time no-no yes play, right? But when you can make those sorts of throws, I think he has an innate feel for throwing the ball to Christian Watson. I think some of the best throws of Jordan Love's life have been to Christian Watson, and they just have an innate chemistry where it's just like not a moment has passed since the last time he threw a pass to Christian Watson. And you saw that deep comeback that he ripped. I mean, 7-step drop from the gun, and he ripped a 20-yard comeback to Christian Watson. That was the one that got them into field goal range at the end of the first half. And unfortunately, you know, you guys were talking about the Brandon McManus misses right before I came on. I mean, that's a tough miss to have, especially when you get gifted the TJ Watt penalty yardage. But that is a dot And I don't know if anyone else is being A, asked to run that route, and B, I don't know if Jordan Love throws the ball to anyone else on that route, but you, that's like the perfect encapsulation of he's got that, oh, you know what speed, oh crap speed. And so if he's gonna make it seem like it's a go ball and then he slams on the brakes, corners are not going to be able to stick with that guy.
Yeah.
And so though I think it gives the Packers access to things that they just don't have anyone else that can do, especially as Matthew Golden gets acclimated. So it was not surprising to me. I think he played over 50% of snaps. My guess is if you asked Matt LaFleur how many snaps was Christian Watson supposed to play, it was fewer than he played.
It was not 50.
Not 50%. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you segued perfectly for us there, Peter. Talk about Matthew Golden and you know, his involvement in this offense. Here's one little like nugget that I see with him as a young player is his body language. I don't love whenever he gets an opportunity, gets something, doesn't get maybe the yards he wants or isn't, you know, he looks frustrated out there. And I think that's a development of a young player. Like, you have to like just erase all emotion in the negative sense, right? So talk about Matthew Golden, his involvement, like kind of what his progression is in this offense, because we've seen a few splashes where they go to him more and then he just disappears. So I'd love to hear it take.
It's funny because I had some fans make a big deal to me that he deactivated Instagram. And yeah. I was like, okay, we got a weird, this is a real receiver now. Like this is like the stereotypical receiver. This is the classic tweet of like all the different players tweeting, and the receiver one is like the enemy is quiet but carries a big knife or something, like whatever the line is. Because receivers always love to tweet cryptic things, and it's in Philly all season. AJ Brown tweeting out things. Devontae Smith. What are those players? They're really good. Those are like, I want a receiver that wants the ball all the time. And now don't be a problem, right? But I want him to want the ball every rep. And he had, there was a third down, the first one of the game where Jordan kind of forces it into Romeo Doubs. He had Golden on the speed out for a first down, just wide open. And he throws the ball away at the end of the game, they end up kicking the field goal. Matthew Golden's got a touchdown.
Yeah.
If he's working the left side of his progression. Now we don't know how that progression was, like, it may just be a half field, like he's just working one side. So it's, you know, sometimes that's just luck, right? That you miss something like that. But the tape is going to speak for itself. And I actually really like in this offense, I love the egalitarian style that Matt LaFleur plays with. It's like the Warriors ball finds energy. Find the open guy. That's what the offense is. And so if you're the open guy, you're going to get the ball. And Bob McGinn, who covered this team for, you know, decades and decades, he always said, you never really have too many guys. Injury sorts these things out. A guy doesn't get progressed the way that you want or whatever it is. Well, Jaden Reed's hurt. Dontayvion Wicks is hurt. And they got good production from Malik Heath. They got a schemed up touch for Savion Williams, and he scored a touchdown before Matthew Golden, which it felt like a troll job to me. I was half joking about that. We know Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are really good football players. So you just have to, you kind of have to stay in line here and be a part of the solution. He's not the blocker that these other guys are.
Yep.
He's not the gadget player that some of these other guys are. So I think they're still finding ways to use him in the flow of this offense. I'm not worried at all about the skill set. Every time he makes a play, you're just like, whoa, that guy has something. And so I'm certainly not worried about where he is in this offense. 460 yards of offense, guys, 7.2 yards per play, and you didn't get one of your most dynamic playmakers the ball that many times. I think that just tells you how good, how talented this team is.
That's a good point. Yeah, nice. I think Jordan, from like even from training camp, like anytime he was asked about Matthew Golden, he kind of downplayed it. And I think it's Jordan Love's job as the leader of this offense to kind of make these guys earn it. He's like, Doubs, Watson, Kraft, like Josh Jay, like, I have my guys that have earned their right to get the ball as often as I can get it to them. Matthew is just going to have to continue to kind of cut his teeth, earn his right to get that football as much as possible. And it's going to get there whenever, you know, someone's banged up or whatever, like he's getting looks. But I think for me, if you look at it from that perspective, it's showing the leadership and what Jordan Love's progression is as that starting quarterback for this Green Bay Packers. It's what Aaron did. Aaron did it with like a lot of young guys, Devontae Adams, all these guys. Like if you aren't, like you have to earn it. You have to earn my throws all the time. And I think that's a really good progression. So Tommy,
Mason,
Mitch,
top of your head, how many you were there in 2011.
Yeah.
How many catches do you think Randall Cobb had as a rookie? Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I probably didn't have many. Probably 40.
Yeah, 25.
25. Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's like a catch and a half a game.
Yeah.
That's not very many.
No.
Now I know that 2011 team, like that team had, you know, Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson and Jermichael Finley, and like that was the SI cover, was all the receivers. So a different level of talent. But like Tucker Kraft is an awesome player. You want to get him the ball. Like they've got plenty of guys that are going to want to get the ball. I think there's going to be a game where he is awesome and we go, okay, cool. Like he's arrived. But it took Jordy Nelson 3 years. It took Devontae Adams 3 years. It usually take even for players who become good. I say this to people all the time. In fact, at the NFL draft in Green Bay, I had someone bring me a T-shirt that said "Most rookies are bad," with my name on it, because that's my thing. Like most rookies are bad. Even players who turn out to be good are not good players as rookies, and that's, we have to remember that's that. Funny. And that's okay. He looks good, so that's great. Don't worry. I'm not even close to worry about Matthew Gold.
Peter, I do have one comment, and it was brought up by my guy Mitch Nellis, that I do feel like they aren't drawing anything up downfield for him, or at least it hasn't been really executed that I think that they could totally maximize it. Like, this is a guy with the 4.2 speed, and it's like, hey, why don't we just get the ball in his hand and see what he does, as opposed to, hey, let's see if he can get behind the defense. Are you at all concerned about that?
I did not love that they had Romeo Doubs on the outside running that ball on the third down.
Thank you, Peter. Thank
just
you.
From a deployment standpoint, but here's what I'll say. If Jaden Reed were on the field, maybe it would be Matthew Golden.
Mm.
But Golden has become the slot replacement, and so you can't be running sideline go balls if you're playing in the slot. And so part of it just becomes a limitation of what your offense is without some of your best players. Now, they like to use Christian Watson as a power slot. And so that might be some fun opportunities to put, like, stack Golden and Watson on the same side of the formation and dare teams to have players who can run with those guys, because guess what? No one does. But I think that's again, is going to be just part of integrating him and finding the opportunities. Remember, he had two of them against Washington, and Love missed both of them. Mm. He had one against Cleveland. They hit it. He admitted he probably could have stayed in bounds. He expected the safety to be closer to him, and the safety needed GPS to find Matthew Golden on the route, and so was not that close to him, and he ended up going out of bounds. We've seen him get some opportunities. That just feels like a game flow thing to me, and it's part of the limitation. Like Savion Williams, if he could play right now, they don't trust him to play receiver right now. Maybe he would be getting some schemed up touches from the slot.
I mean, he got a touchdown yesterday, right? I mean, they obviously they drew something up for him. It feels like they're not drawing it up for Matthew Golden.
And maybe part of that is the offensive line issues right now. I mean, some inconsistencies in pass protection. I don't think they wanted to take that many throws down the field that were not play action, precisely because they're worried about TJ Watt. They're worried about Herbig. They're worried about Hayward. And rightfully so. Like, Love was under siege. He just made throw after throw after throw in the face of pressure. I mean, I think he was 12 of 14 against the blitz on Sunday. Like, he was awesome against the blitz, but you can't take seven step drops. And he doesn't do the thing that Aaron Rodgers does better than anyone in the history of the league. Rodgers called it a transition go route, a three step go route from the gun. Like, no one does that. No one throws that. It's Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow throw that, no one else. So maybe they should let Jordan Love try it. But, you know, I think part of it is just a function of where Golden is playing more often than not.
Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, joining us. Peter, snap counts, real quick. I don't know if you noticed. I'm sure you didn't, of course. No, I'm sure you did. Carrington Valentine, 62.
Oh, I noticed that one.
Nate Hobbs, 4.
And two of them didn't count.
Right,
with penalty.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yikes.
What do we even say about Nate Hobbs right now? Like, Is he? You know, is he?
He's a $48 million gunner right now.
Right. What? Yikes. What does he need to do? Can he earn his way back onto this defense?
Do you want him to?
That's a good transition.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm Valentine's slot great, only. Right?
He played a great game. Valentine had a great game.
He did. Yeah.
So my thing would be, I think there are going to be matchups where you need Nate Hobbs because Javon Bullard, I really like as a slot defender on early downs because they're essentially in big nickel, right? He's really a safety.
Yeah.
And they have him as the nickel corner. He's not the best. He's not one of your three best cover corners in the nickel. Like I don't think he is. And so in a week where you're going to play Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, maybe you need Nate Hobbs on the field more often on early downs. And we see Javon Bullard play less. I mean, I could certainly envision a world where that's the case. And then otherwise, like what we saw, the downs that he did play were third and must pass. And they took Javon Bullard off the field. They played nickel and Nate Hobbs was playing in the slot. I think that they realized this experiment with him as a boundary corner is over.
Yep. Yeah.
They need Carrington Valentine to play the boundary. And then it's okay. Where can you work him in as a slot corner? I wouldn't want to take Javon Bullard off the field too much. Cause he's made a clear step forward. And he's made an impact. I love that he's embraced his role as a special teams player, despite being a high second round pick. I mean, and a no doubt day one starter, they have to move him positionally. He embraces that. I mean, he's done everything they've asked of him. They love Bull in Green Bay. And so, like, I wouldn't want to take him off the field, but I do understand that if it's Amon-Ra St. Brown on 3rd and 8 against one of the slot corners on this team, if I'm the Packers, I would rather it be Nate Hobbs than Javon Bullard. So can you be that matchup specific? I don't know if Jeff Hafley wants to do that, but I think it's certainly an option. And I think against a Sam Laporta, you could do that. There are other teams where, you know, Justin Jefferson plays in the slot 25-30% of the time. Against the Vikings, would you want to do that a little bit more? The problem is, like, the Lions, they want to be in heavy personnel. And so you don't want to play a bunch of DBs on the field if you can avoid it. The Eagles, you know, you might want a corner for Dallas Goedert, but they play, like we saw last week, they're playing with 6 offensive linemen and 3 tight ends. And it's just tough to play light against that stuff. So it's going to be tricky. I think maybe against a team like the Rams, like maybe that's the perfect Nate Hobbs opponent where you're going to see Devontae and Puka Nacua in the slot all game. And so you want Nate Hobbs there. Otherwise, yeah, I think he's got to figure out what his future is going to be in Green Bay. You know, because they are paying him a lot of money. Like, he's going to be on this team for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to figure something out. Peter, plug your stuff, let the listeners know where they can find all your things. And then right as you're leaving, just tell everybody, like, do you think this Carolina game coming up, is this one that we got to be cautious about? These are those trap games, as everyone likes to call them. Just kind of leave your final thoughts as you roll out here.
Well, Locked On Packers is the Packers podcast. Locked On Sports Today. If you want something all sports, we like to say it's like the first 15 minutes of SportsCenter, but no one watches SportsCenter anymore. So
nice.
Check out Locked On Sports Today. We have the Locked On Podcast Network. We have just the best hosts, and they're going to give you the local perspective that you're not going to get, frankly, on the big networks. You're just not. You guys know that from being the local angle in Wisconsin sports as well. So, and then The Leap is the newsletter, theleap.football. Me and Jason Hirshhorn. I think we're doing stuff there that no one else is doing. We cover the game the way that no one else really does in terms of the print space, especially. So subscribe to that in your inbox every day. And then, Carolina, this is a
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this
right now. New Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Don't be careful out there kind of game.
Take care of business.
Especially with the Eagles coming up.
Yep, we've seen them. They, like, you did it. You beat the crap out of another good team. Mm-hmm. Great job. Don't get caught sleeping. Because it felt like that might have been what happened a little bit against Cleveland. We've seen this team last year. I think they took their eye off the ball a little bit in some of these games. It's still a young team, guys. Still the youngest team in the NFL. And you can get a little too high on your own supply at times. Mm. And so you need your leaders this week to keep everybody focused. Hey, this is the standard. This is the standard. This is what it looks like. And it has to look like this every single week. Coach Jeff Jagosinski does our Locked On Packers squad show. He is huge on that. That was a big Mike McCarthy too thing, right? Yep. The standard has to be the standard in Green Bay. So what did Big Mac always say? Stack success.
That's right. Stack success, baby.
Stack some success.
Win world championships too.
That's right.
All right. I appreciate you, Peter. All the worlds. All the worlds. Win them all.
That's right. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.